Welcome to Intentionalist Podcast. Thank you for being here. This is a podcast to help you get inspired, motivated to make intentional choices in your either career or life and other transition that you will have as a woman. My name is Coach Alice Mohirwa. I'm your host. I'm an executive coach. Intentionalist Podcast is a space that I created to bring in women who are on their path of living an intentional life so that you get inspired, so that you get to see where are the experts and the professionals that you might need in order to put your life on track. In today's episode, we are going to discuss on a woman in her life transition. It can be life transition, it can be social transition, it can be career transition. Today's guest is a woman who has known and battled some illness and has managed to live with positivity and track back her life back together. This is a conversation of putting our experiences and our life transitions, our life experiences, our life challenges that we encounter as women, both socially and work-wise. Today's guest is a friend of mine, Arela. Thank you and welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much, Alice. Mm. I am glad to be here.
Yes.
And I'm glad to have this conversation, especially with you.
Yes.
Because you were there during that time.
Yes.
So I think you have seen me through the ups and downs.
Yes.
As a friend and as a coach as
yes.
well.
Yeah, true.
Because I have also learned from other aspects
yes.
of your coaching.
Yes.
And you know, I always joke that yes. when I'm coming to meet you, I'm very careful about everything I do because
yeah,
Coach Alice is watching.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And I'm honored that you're here, not only to share what it looked like in that particular transition, but also to, it's a way of also being really vulnerable. Because sometimes people always think vulnerability is sharing our saddest moment, our flaws, our bad moment. But also sharing your successful story is as well as being vulnerable because you don't know what the other person might use. Thank you for really having these conversations with us.
Thank you, Alice. I think before we carry on,
yes.
I would say that people sometimes look at vulnerability as a weakness.
Yes.
But I choose to look at it as a strength.
True, it
is. Because it takes strength and courage
yes.
to open up your heart, to open up your experience and share with others about your life, whether positive or negative.
Yes.
Because you don't know that your story may be a life guide for somebody, a survival guide for somebody else.
And that's the purpose of Intentionalist, is not only to come to vent about our life or our experiences. It is also to say, hey, you can actually pick up and move on.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. And would you like to tell us a little bit, who is Arela?
Arela Evelyn. Commonly known in other circles as Yasmin.
Yes.
A friend of Alice's.
Yes.
I'm a mother, I am a daughter, I am a wife. And in terms of work, I'm a pharmacist by training. I work for a cosmetic company. Mm. So I'm in the business of making your skin look good and healthy and beautiful. You can see.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And I would like to ask, when a woman is encountering transition, it could be career transition. Mm-hmm. It could be relationship transition. Mm-hmm. It could be, let's say even age transition, because
yes,
we are transitioning from either adulthood to now bloom and then menopause, and perimenopause and menopause. Mm-hmm. I would like us to focus on the health transition. Would you like to tell us the most biggest transition you had to make in your life?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for me, it was not only a health transition.
Yes.
At the same time, I went through a career transition.
Oh, yeah.
And a relationship transition,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, true.
And a physical transition, because I moved from one town to the other.
Yes,
so true. I think it was a period of lots of transitions. But yes, for the focus of today,
yes,
it will be health transition.
Yes.
I believe when we wake up every day,
yes,
we know we are healthy, we know we are fine, we've been walking around, we slept well. But to wake up one day and realize that you have cancer, I think that is one of the traumatizing or the saddest things that,
yeah,
you could ever imagine that would happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of these are things you see with other people.
Mm.
Some I've just seen it in the movies.
Yes.
You never imagine that one day it will be you.
Your
being
story.
Told,
yeah,
that you have cancer.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is my life flashed before my eyes, because I was like, whoa, I'm going to die. And when I think I'm going to die, I think of my mom, who is no longer with us,
yeah,
anymore.
Oh, may her soul rest in peace.
Thank,
yeah,
you. I thought about my mom. I thought about my son. I thought about my husband.
Yeah.
I thought about all the people. I'm like, how will these people live without me? I mean, not that I'm vain, but you know.
I remember that season, because you are freshly in a new relationship.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, sometimes you're really unfair.
Mm.
What's this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, fortunately for me, I would say that this relationship was a blessing, because I had been in the relationship for about 1 year.
Yes.
And this is the point at which, you know, it's honeymoon.
Yes.
Everything is all good.
Yes.
And you are
high,
like,
expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have like really big plans.
Yes.
You know, we have started this journey together.
Mm.
And then the first thing that crosses my mind is, oh my gosh, this guy did not sign up for this.
Yes.
He has. Everybody signs up to date, you know, you are a healthy partner, you,
yes,
have plans,
yes,
you want to be with each other for as long as possible.
Mm.
And well, knowing what cancer is, everybody would think like, hey, okay,
this
guy is
going to die. Lifetime liability.
I know, yeah. Do I really want to be in this?
Yeah.
Because you see, you don't know what is ahead, because
mm,
it could be debilitating for the rest of my life. It could end my life. It would go either way.
Yeah, true.
But fortunately
and
for
then
me.
And coming also with that.
Yes.
Financial burden and
absolutely
presence burden.
Yes.
Yeah, to
and
be
and
completely
it's,
dependent. Yeah.
And it's an emotional burden as well.
Yeah, true.
Because cancer is draining.
Mm.
It's draining physically, it's draining financially, it's draining emotionally. It drains the patient and all the people around them. So it was heavy, but...
What are the intentional decisions that you had to make in that particular infant stage of acceptance that I'm here, it is what it is?
Yeah, I think the first thing was, who am I going to share this news with?
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you don't want all your business out there, especially at that point where I was confused. I didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't know how this was going to go. So I think that was the first thing. Who do I tell? So obviously my family,
mm,
and now my close friends, like moving outside the circle.
Yeah, true.
Like, you know, the inner circle,
mm,
the people I know are going to stand with,
yes,
me,
yes,
first, then... and it was during COVID, yeah. It was,
yes,
in 2020.
Yes.
So that also was another transition for the whole world.
Yes.
And we were not out and about with each other a lot,
mm,
so people didn't see me.
Mm.
And most people didn't know what, mm, I was going through.
Yes.
Especially in the earlier stages,
mm,
because I now made it public after...
during treatment.
After I finished chemo.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
when I made it public. I went through the chemo just with a few people knowing.
Mm.
And I would tell maybe somebody who would call me just to check on me or to talk about something. I'm like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm going through this.
Yeah.
Or there are people who are really keen. And when they saw my photos on social media, they would see I look different.
Yeah.
Because I had
puffiness,
put on, yes, yeah, yes, the drugs made, mm, me look a bit puffy.
Mm.
And losing the hair, I did not only lose the hair on my head, I lost my eyebrows and my eyelashes.
Yes.
So I looked kind of funny.
Yes.
I put on wigs the whole time,
mm,
but people who are really keen noticed that there was something that was off,
mm,
with me. And they would ask me, Are you okay? Mm. You've put on so much weight. Is it COVID? Mm, you know? Mm. Then I would say, not really. Mm. I'm going through mm-hmm. treatment, and that is what has made me this way. Mm. So I think the first step of intentionality is who you choose to share with whatever you are going through or whatever you feel the need to share. Mm. Who do you let into your space at that particular time when you're going through a transition,
yes,
or any life-changing experience?
Yes.
Yeah, then after that, also the kind of support that I would ask from the people around me. And then there's also this feeling that I don't want to be a bother.
Yes.
So I don't want to make people get tired of me or you know, see me as a burden. Mm. So I was also very intentional about how I presented myself in terms of when I would show my weakness, which sometimes I don't think is a good thing, because when you need help, you need help.
Yeah, you
but, do. But of course, you also have to balance between being extra needy and just asking for the help
that
you need. Mm. And I was also very intentional about trying to also be supportive to my family and the people around me.
Yes.
Because I know that it was tough for them as well.
Yes.
You know, having a sick wife, having a sick mom, and you don't know where this is going, having a sick sister.
A sick friend.
Yes. So I would always ask them how they are doing.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, you know, they'll keep on checking on me. Have you eaten? And I'm like, and what about you?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Like for my husband, I asked him, are you getting support from anybody? He's like, yeah, he has his boys club.
Yes.
Who were really, really there for him. They visited us a lot during that period. Mm. Despite COVID, we also had some, we would allow some visitors to just come and spend some time with us.
Mm.
Yeah. So in being intentional, it's about taking care of myself first and then the people around me second.
When it comes to cancer, because it's something that you never know the magnitude of that spectrum, how long will it take, number one, for the treatment, how you would react on, how you would respond and react, how your body would react, how your situation would respond to the treatment. Mm. What are the measures that you had to take career-wise in order for you to have a positive attitude toward healing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in terms of my career, fortunately, it was a time when people were working from home.
Yes.
And that worked very well for me
because
I was able to work for most of the time. I was able to work from home. Mm-hmm. So I was able to balance between work and going for my treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to ask for space when I needed to rest.
Yeah.
On the tough days, I would take time off and rest. I was in a new job, so also there's expectation that comes with that.
Yes.
Like, you don't want this people to feel like we hired this girl just the other day and she has come with a lot of baggage.
Mm.
So I also had the pressure to prove myself despite going through the treatment.
Mm.
So at least I knew how long the treatment was going to last because I was given the program and the schedule. So I knew that I would have surgery, then 6 months of chemo, then another 1.5 months of radiotherapy.
Mm.
So at least I was able to plan well in terms of even the days I would go for chemo.
Yeah.
And I would schedule them towards the weekend so that I'm able to rest and be strong enough on Monday or Tuesday to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. So that is now having a firm calendar, communicate your calendar and aligning with your other schedules.
Absolutely, yes.
When it comes to, I think the workplace is manageable at some, because whoever you don't want, you can easily shut down.
Yes.
But when it comes to our social circles, what are the kind of shifts that you had to make in your social circles in order to have that space that you need, the privacy, the boundary, and then the freedom to only choose whoever that you would like to share this particular vulnerable moment?
I think the first step of that was the people I told what I was going through.
Yeah.
That was the first step of control in terms of not exposing myself to to too many people. With that, you know, I was able to choose, like, the people who would know what I was going through. And after that, everybody's first instinct was, oh my gosh, I need to come and see you. And one thing that helped me was the treatment made me a little bit immunocompromised. So I was at risk of catching infections. It was COVID time.
Yes.
So COVID also really helped me to filter visitors.
Yes.
Then something that I got to learn then that I have carried up to now is this experience taught me who is in my corner. Now I know my tribe.
True.
Because there are people who had, not from me, but, you know, they would call and say, oh my goodness, I've had this. Yeah. How are you doing? Can I come and see you?
Yeah.
And then there are those
What other ways we can do
Yes,
to
how
support.
Can I support you? You know, someone from Kisumu, you know, sent me flowers and chocolate.
Yes.
So, because she couldn't come.
Yeah.
So I received gestures of love, even from unexpected people.
Yes.
Whilst those, there are some I expected to be by my side who really were not there. And that is another life lesson.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're told you know your people when you're going through stuff.
Yeah, true.
So also, I think there are people who just removed themselves naturally from my space. Yeah, so it taught me now that this journey is over, the people I can continue working with, the people I know have my back.
Yeah.
Are the people I know have who really, really care, not just during the good times, but even the bad times.
Looking back in your career space and when you had to make that announcement, what was the reaction within the workmate, within the senior management? Do you feel like people who are in that, who have cancer in the workspace, can we rate the inclusivity level and the stigma? How can we rate that ratio according to your personal experience?
According to my personal experience, the news was received quite well and quite positively at my workplace. And I was given a lot of support in terms of, you know, first I had a good medical cover, which managed all my treatment from the surgery to the chemo to the radio and the scans, subsequent follow-ups. My cover did all of that, thanks to my employer.
Yes.
And then when I told them that this is what I have, they were empathetic, and I was able to get like time off when I needed to. I was even they even proposed if I needed therapy, they would, you know, organize for me from our medical provider. So I would say that where I work, I got sufficient support. Yes, though I know I have interacted with a few ladies who have gone through the same condition, and they had terrible experiences.
What would you say, at least you had a cover. What does the journey look like for someone who is self-sponsored? Like you have no cover at all, and you have to pay such a journey, the medication, screening, testing, the psychological cover, the support that you need from therapists and all that. How does it look like?
It's heavy. It is heavy because cancer treatment doesn't come cheap.
Yes.
Of course, there are options of the public hospitals, but we know challenges that come with the public hospitals.
Yes.
Sometimes there'll be no drugs. Sometimes the queue for the scans and for the radio is too long. You have to wait, and this wait is not good because we really needed to fight this disease like now. So for someone who has to treat it out of pocket, I would say it's a huge burden. And if they don't have support in terms of, you know, people around who can rally up the funds to help them get the treatment, it's they're not in a good place. Yes, because these things need to be done sequentially. If the treatment is every week, you need to have that money every week. If it is every 3 weeks, you need to have that money every 3 weeks. So it's not a good place to be if you're strained for finances and you don't have medical cover.
I understand. One thing that I've seen, and women love their hair so much. And I remember that kinky, beautiful hair falling off bit by bit. Seeing pictures where you're sharing like some hair stuck in the comb and all that. That particular transition of where you're seeing what you knew was beauty is fading off in your eye. How did you have to recalibrate the meaning of confidence, the meaning of beauty? How did you use, what was your coping mechanism to redefine confidence and the meaning of esteem?
I think losing my hair was more painful than I expected because, yeah, like you said, I had really nice, beautiful hair.
Yeah, very beautiful.
And when I started combing it one day and it was just, you know, literally falling off comb. And like a whole bunch remaining in the comb.
Yeah.
Then I went to the barber shop and they cut it all off. I put on a wig from day one. I was never confident in the beginning because I don't remember the last time I had a bald head. And on top of being bald, my face was puffy. Then at some point I have no eyelashes, I have no eyebrows. So it was not a beautiful sight. And even in the cancer spaces, we make fun of each other. And some say, oh my gosh, I looked like a potato. I looked like
an alien.
like an alien, yeah. Like an egg.
Yeah.
Because I also had beautiful eyebrows. So
yeah.
When after losing my eyebrows, I lost my hair first, then my eyebrows. And I think I was still in denial that I had cancer, despite now being in the middle of treatment.
Yeah.
And the first time I looked at myself in the mirror and saw that face, I was like, oh my gosh, Kumbe, it's real. I actually have cancer. It wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
So for several months, I had no confidence walking without covering my head. So I had wigs the whole time. In the house, I'd always have a scarf or a hat.
Yes.
And there is a day we were going, leaving the house, and my husband told me, you know, you can just step out like that.
Yes.
And my daughter also, and I snapped at them. I told them, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I was ready. But one day, I think after my eyebrows came back and the hair started growing a little, I said, you know what? What the hell?
Yeah.
Let me just step out.
Yeah.
And now the hair that grew first was white, gray hair.
Yes.
So it looked, there are people who thought it was beautiful. I thought it was, this is all I have. But I think at that point, I was okay with it. And I said, you know what, the hair is growing back. And let me just take it as it is.
A day at a time.
Yes, a day at a
time. Were there challenges while having this transition of seeing your hair falling off? Whatever you had as your strong point of beauty as a woman is gone. And how did you self-reaffirm to replace that kind of loss in your life?
So, well, of course, there's the cosmetic replacement of wearing wigs.
Yes.
And I did a lot of eyeliner. I was a professional in drawing my eyebrows just to mask the fact that, you know, there was nothing going on there.
Yes.
And I just looked inside myself and I said, I've come from so far.
Yes.
And I have so much life ahead of me. And I told myself, you know, lack of hair is not going to stop me. The hair will grow back. I just need to focus on getting back on my feet and getting back my health and stop sweating the small stuff.
Yeah, true.
Yes, it took time.
So you had to choose a battle.
Yes, I had to pick a battle. Am I going to cry over hair? Or am I going to think of the next healthy meal that I'm going to have?
Yes. Speaking of meal, what are the kind of intentional steps you had to take in order to change your lifestyle, to have something that is sustainable in terms of building good habits, changing your diet? What are the positive steps that you had to take?
I think if there's a time in my life I ate healthy was during the maybe 6, 7, 8 months that I was going through treatment.
Yes.
My diet was rich in fruits and vegetables, and I was doing a lot of juicing and having healthy fruit smoothies. Mm-hmm. I reduced on my favorite red drink.
That's wine.
I drank a lot of water.
Yes.
Also just to help clear my system.
Yes.
Because you see, chemo is toxins getting into your body as they treat. Yes. You know, they're also doing a little bit of damage. Mm. So I did drink a lot of water. Mm. I started walking and we'd go to Jeffrey's when it was open.
Yes.
And sometimes we'd just walk along the road where we stay.
Yes.
So I tried to move a lot at that time and to eat a well-balanced meal.
Speaking about this, because it's a condition that you don't even know. It's a guest who you don't know how long they will stay. Mm-hmm. What are the kind of boundaries, family, who are now the support system to someone who is going through that transition, need to respect as someone who has lived in that space? What are boundaries that you feel like we can share with our listeners today, that if you live with someone who is in this condition, please avoid ABCD? It will help better.
Yeah. it's a very emotional period.
Yes.
And there are times when I needed to be alone.
Yes.
And you see, the people who live with you don't want you to be alone.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, you know, we just want to be around her. We want to make her happy.
Yes.
And you're wallowing in pain. You're like, okay, I'm going through this.
Yes.
Or sometimes the body is in pain because of the side effects of the drugs. Mm-hmm. You just need to lie down. Mm-hmm. So in as much as we would love to smother our loved ones with love and attention, sometimes we give them space to have a moment to take a nap or to just sit on their own and also listen to them. Because I think everybody came with all sorts of advice about what I should eat, what I should not eat. And during that time, because of the treatment also, the taste buds are affected.
Yes.
And you want me to eat, you know, that nice, healthy spinach, but my mouth doesn't want spinach.
Mm.
I need some nyamachoma at that point. Mm. Let me just have that nyamachoma for now.
Yes.
We'll eat spinach later.
Yes.
And I think that's what one of my doctors even told my husband and said the taste buds will be affected.
Mm.
And when she says she wants nyamachoma, I think it's like pregnancy cravings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there are things that taste really bad. Mm. So in as much as you know they're healthy, we try to push ourselves.
Mm.
But I know loved ones would really push people to eat healthy, eat healthy. You must eat this, you must drink this.
Mm.
Or, you know, there's a lady I know who drank something, so I need to bring it to you. You also need to drink it.
Alternative medicine.
Alternative medicine, yes. Yeah. Mm. So that happens a lot, and we really need to be sensitive to what this patient is going through. Don't bombard them with all sorts of remedies, you know, like there's this powder.
Unsolicited advice.
Exactly, unsolicited advice in terms of, you know, how I should live my life now that I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the person's desires and their needs and their taste and what they want.
Mm. That's very true. Let us limit how we like showing love.
Exactly.
Then understand that people's love language is different. Because you might feel like, yes, I need support, yet I need presence. Mm. But asking the person, how would you like me to help?
Absolutely.
How would you like me to help you? Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. Know that I'm here. Mm. Any type of help you need, I'm here. Just let me know.
Yes.
And respect the fact if they choose not to seek for help, it's not because they don't like you.
Mm.
It's because they want to be in that particular space for that particular moment.
And sometimes I don't even know what I want.
Yes, true.
Because I'm going through the motions. Mm. So at that point, I am in a confused state.
Mm.
So yeah, also just give them grace, give them time.
Mm.
They will come around always.
So what are other steps that really helped you to transition from that phase? There is that phase of awareness, acceptance, living with it, the process of medication and seeing how your body is coping. Mm-hmm. And then now the final one, when you are coming back to your own personal bloom, yes, when it is testing negative. Mm-hmm. And then going back into those scan again. Do you have scan phobia?
Yes, we call it scanxiety.
Yes.
Scan plus anxiety, scanxiety.
Yes.
And, well, at least for me now, I have reduced to doing just two scans in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do a scan, a different one, every 6 months to monitor the situation.
Mm.
But every time I go to the hospital, there's always that fear of, oh my gosh, will they find something?
Mm.
And I think apart from the anxiety that comes with scans,
mm,
after going through cancer, even scans aside, we are always living in anxiety because every time something is
every
off in
single
the body,
symptom.
Every single symptom is like, oh my gosh, is it coming back?
Yeah.
If I have a headache, is it coming back to the brain? If I cough, oh my gosh, is it coming back to the lungs?
Mm.
I have a backache, is it coming back to the bones?
Mm.
So it's a constant state of anxiety.
Mm.
And so it's more of a one day at a time. After that, it's just one day at a time.
One day at a time. And what would you advise people who are in that space? Maybe they're still on treatment or they are almost giving up because they have just discovered that they have been diagnosed with this. It is a journey that you have gone through. What can you tell them?
Don't do it alone.
Mm.
Find people who have gone through that before, because in as much as everybody's experience is different,
mm,
we can relate.
Mm.
If, for example, the patient is going for chemo tomorrow, then I'll be able to tell her, you know, when I was going through chemo,
mm,
I would maybe drink a lot of water before, or I would suck on some ice cubes to help prevent
mm
the
hot flashes.
That no, so it's a tongue, yeah, from, you know, getting affected,
mm,
and small things like that,
mm,
and also just someone who knows what you're going through.
Mm.
That helped me a lot,
mm,
because during that time when I didn't know where to start, I didn't know where to go, I found
as a support system.
Yes,
yeah.
I found an online support system.
Mm.
Funny enough, not even local.
Yes.
So we would, on Facebook, there was a group on Facebook, and sometimes in the middle of the night when I had hot flashes because of chemo,
mm,
I would pick my phone and go to those groups and find
tips.
Yeah, you find like there are 50 other women in,
yeah,
all corners of the world also not sleeping. They're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? I bought this fan.
Mm.
I've removed one leg from the blanket. I've got to stand in the balcony.
That was before we get those portable fans.
Exactly, before, yeah, we got. So actually, I used to see them with portable fans and I'm like, oh my gosh, when are we getting this in Kenya?
Yeah.
Because I'm suffering.
Yeah.
I think a support system is, I cannot overemphasize the importance of having a support system. I know there are people who choose to go through this alone,
mm,
and for their own personal reasons.
Mm.
But I think this journey is better if you take
when
you have a point of reference.
Yeah.
You have you know, someone you can call and say, I have a scan tomorrow and I don't want to be alone.
Mm.
And they will come and sit with you.
Mm.
So many survivors do that,
mm,
for each other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Would you like also to talk about how you decided to create a support group for people who are living with the same condition and which kind of support you offer?
Yes. So when I got diagnosed, the first place we go nowadays when you need to know anything is the internet.
Yes.
So I went to Facebook and tried to look for a support group.
Mm.
In Kenya, I didn't get anything that, you know, I could fit into. I went to Instagram. So, you know, I was just posting the type of cancer that I had. And so I found resources from America.
Mm.
So I joined some of these groups. And in our interactions, we now became acquainted,
mm,
started following each other on Instagram.
Mm.
And I could see the amazing job that these women were doing, you know, talking about what they're going through. Some have been so open, the ones who've gone through surgery, even showing, you know, how they've had the mastectomy, how they've had reconstruction, you know, when they have hot flashes, the way they are finding themselves, and they actually just opened up their lives.
Like about the coping mechanisms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I sat and I thought, you know, I'm not seeing anyone doing it for the
locally,
Kenyan patient.
Yes.
And I thought, well, let me start talking about it. Mm. Well, of course, we've not reached that point where we really, really open up and start getting too personal with what we're going through. Mm. But how I chose to do it is to now start talking, creating awareness, you know, what is breast cancer and how can you start examining yourself as a woman for early detection so that you don't catch it too late. Of course, the earlier you catch it, the better the prognosis, the easier it is to treat.
Yes.
So what I do on Instagram and Facebook every month, on the first or the second, I remind women, all my friends and followers on these networks, to please check themselves because you could save your life.
Can you believe I never used to touch my boobs ever since... Ever since you got sick.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I touch and sometimes you see there is a way your bra will squeeze
poke
you and poke you a bit. And well, Alena said we need to check. So, and yeah, you never know when it will develop into something
Actually, there's
big.
A friend of mine who has told me after I got diagnosed, she went and she was really checking herself. Her husband asked her, "What's wrong with you?"
Even me, I used to find it very odd. And what if somebody comes and find me squeezing,
checking
what like... will that be?
Yeah.
And now it is a practice that I have normalized.
And a very healthy practice. Yeah, it's a very healthy practice because in my case, I must say I was lucky.
Yes.
Because I was not regular in checking.
Yes.
I would only check in October. Mm. Of course, when everybody's talking about breast cancer awareness month.
Yeah.
So check, you know, and things like that. Go for your scans. So I just stumbled upon a lump when I was taking a shower.
Mm.
And it was already in stage two, but at least early stage two.
Yes.
So I imagine I was lucky because of the position where the lump was. If it was like inside the breast tissue, I may have not felt it when I was taking a bath. And so we encourage women to know your breasts, because if you know your breasts, you know what they're like when they're normal, then in case of anything untoward, you'll be able to identify it early, and then see your doctor.
And this is something also we need to talk about, because sometimes you might have an abdominally, but because it is painless, you feel like, it's okay. It has been there. This is how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a young girl, she was it 15?
Mm.
She just had something that was here ever since she was starting growing her boobs.
Mm.
But it was overlooked because simply it was painless.
Yes.
They thought that it is just maybe a mark.
Mm.
That's how you are. It was like in a form of like a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that. Before we know it, it was a huge tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes. So anything that, I think we all know what a normal breast looks like.
Yeah.
So anything that you see and feel, this is not normal, just have the doctor check it and rule it out. And especially with younger girls, because for the longest time, breast cancer was taken as an older woman's illness.
Yes.
But nowadays, we are seeing even girls in their teenage,
teenage.
Being diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm.
So we also start need to, the moment our girls start sprouting, then I think also need them
to learn how to check. Yeah.
Even if they don't do the examination, but at least know and be keen and know in case of anything odd, tell mom or say you want to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Looking back in this 4 years of you transitioning health-wise from this bubbly woman now to this sick person, now again to this person who is reconstructing herself, building back home and the resilience for you to heal, and then now this you, the healed person, the healed version, what would you tell your younger self in that process?
I would tell my younger self first that life is full of surprises.
Yes.
And life can hit you with the biggest shocker. So live your best life and do what you feel is right, because I think the gut never lies to us. And many of the times you find people make the wrong decisions, they did not listen to their gut.
True.
Yeah, so listen to your gut.
Mm.
And just be your best self. Be your best self for you and not for anybody else. And it's never that serious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll all die one day.
Yeah,
so
true.
While we are living, we might as well make the best out of it.
Mm-hmm. What are the intentional advice you would tell a woman who is currently in a critical condition as a cancer patient, as someone who has walked in those shoes? What are the intentional measures they should think of?
Number one is to give yourself grace. Mm. Whatever you're going through is not easy, and no one was born to go through that. No one is ever prepared to go through that. So give yourself grace. Most importantly, ask for help. Don't carry this burden alone.
That's the most difficult part, especially.
And women, we are super women.
Yes.
We want to do everything. Yes. You want to be the one still cooking for your husband and your children when you're
there for everyone.
Exactly.
Else.
Absolutely. Take a step back and take care of yourself. Then you'll heal and be able to take care of other people and find a support system and find someone you trust. Talk to people. Mm. It helps. It helps a lot to talk to people. And then as you carry on, have small goals. Celebrate your small wins.
Yes.
I've finished chemo.
Yes.
I've done first chemo. It's a party.
Yes.
No, okay. I'm happy. Yes. I'm excited. I've done the second one. I've done the third one. So celebrate every little milestone that you go through, because in celebrating, I think we fill our hearts and our lives with joy, and it's like we are fueling ourselves for the next period.
Yes.
Yes. So we should always celebrate all the wins that we have, and if in case of any failure, a failure is a lesson. It's not the end of it. Learn whatever you can learn from it. Let it go. If there is no lesson, but it's part of life, let it not bring you down. Move on. Move forward.
Thank you so
much,
Adela.
One step at a time.
Thank you so much for your insight and sharing your journey with us. If you are a cancer patient, if you are on or you have a cancer patient family member, you are looking for a support locally, your support system, a person who has gone through the same and who is willing to share, I'm going to share her Instagram page. And do you have a Facebook page that
you'd
like to share? So we would link all those links in the description of this video, or comment below if you ever need to have a personal touch with her. We will always facilitate for that. Life is a gift. Let us treat it as one. Trying to beat up yourself, blame yourself, or blame your past choices, because sometimes lifestyle can lead to serious medical conditions. This is not the time to do that. Living an intentional life is to make sure that you choose healthy and better choices moving forward from now. We don't look back. We don't look to the bad thing that happened in the past, maybe when we never had the information or when we were in a mental space that doesn't allow us to be better and choose better. But moving forward now, it's better to take care of yourself. It's better to choose yourself. It's better to tend grace to yourself and also accept help. Accept help, because this is the biggest challenge most women we go through. We seek help when it is too late.
True.
When it is too late, it's time to normalize asking for help. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoyed this episode and many others that are going to come. Feel free to share with other cancer patients or other people who are going through this life transition, so that they feel like they are not alone and there is always a green light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you.